So welcome to Authors Radio, Amplifying Voices, Inspiring the World. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm really happy to have a special guest with me today, Mr. William Charles, author of the book, Strategic Planning for the Golden Years. We're here to talk about your book, your ideas, and everything behind the pages. Mr. William, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks.
So, Mr. William, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, so this book has been about a 10-year journey for me. About 10 years ago, my wife's grandfather came to live with us, and he had dementia and Alzheimer's, and we had to help take care of him and find care for him. And, you know, if you've ever had anybody go into a memory care unit, they're anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 a month. So finding the financial resources to help pay for it. And so during all that, we learned that he was a Korean War vet, but he didn't even remember being in the Army because of his Alzheimer's. So it took a lot of time to get that information and be able to get the resources. So unfortunately, like with all Alzheimer's patients, Tony passed away. So I kind of filed that experience back in the back of my head. And then a couple of years later, my mom got diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and that's just a horrible disease. And mom passed away not soon after that, but we were actively doing hospice when my sister looked at me and I looked at her and we went, "Does mom have funeral arrangements?" And we were like, "I don't know." And so we had to stop doing hospice to, to put funeral arrangements together for mom. And so that was very stressful. And so then about a year later, one of my uncles passed away and I'm standing at the funeral and his wife, my aunt, was saying, "Oh my God, I don't know where the checkbook is. I don't know how to pay the mortgage. I don't know where any of the bills are. I don't know where our money is." And my cousins were like, "It's okay, mom, we'll help you. We got this." And it took them about a year to kind of put everything together. And then during the pandemic, I was a firefighter EMT during the pandemic. So we would go into people's houses. They were in respiratory failure. They were in bad shape. They were by themselves. And we would just grab their purse and their phone or their wallet and take that all to the hospital. And we'd like go into the ER and go, "Here you go. Here's the person. We know nothing about this person. Here's their stuff." And so filed that away. And then about 2 years ago, my dad had a heart attack. And it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I'm talking to my sister and I'm like, "What do we know about dad?" And she's like, "Well, what do you mean?" I'm like, "Well, I know dad was a Vietnam vet. Does he have VA benefits? He used to work for the utility company. Does he have a pension? Does he have long-term health insurance?" And my sister's like, "I don't know any of that." So I sat down that night and wrote out 168 pages of questions that I thought would be important for us to know. And that became the basis of this book. And it's a fill-in-the-blank workbook. It's 8.5 by 11. And you take it, you sit down with your loved one, and you open it up. And the first thing it asks is name, address, and you just start filling out the questions. And the idea is when your loved one can no longer advocate for themselves and the doctors and nurses and case managers are asking you questions, there's the answers.
Yeah, that's very important. And you cover a lot, like financial, emotional, social planning. Like, which part do you think people overlook the most?
Well, so there's three major sections to the book. There's the personal section, there's the medical history section, and the financial. So in the front section, the personal section, a lot of people overlook what their preferences are. When do they like to eat? Where do they like to sleep? What do they want to eat? What do they not want to eat? I can remember my grandfather being in the assisted living facility and he said, "They served me some sort of weird pie for dinner." And we're like, "What are you talking about?" And they served him quiche. Well, he'd never eaten a quiche in his entire life. He'd never even seen it. And he was like, "I don't know why we got pie for dinner." And so it's those kinds of things there. It's like, what is your loved one like and dislike? But in the medical history section, no known drug allergies. What drugs are they taking? What surgeries did they have? I didn't know this about my mom, but my mom had breast implants. And so if somebody had asked me if my mom had plastic surgery, I would have said no. But my older brother, who's a few years older than me, went, oh, yeah, I remember when mom got breast implants. So he would have been a yes. So it's learning those things about the person and their medical history. And then in the last section, the financial section, this is one of the more difficult sections, especially with the silent generation, the children of the Great Depression. They don't want to talk about money. They don't want to talk about where it is. They don't want to talk about any of that stuff. So this section being at the end is designed for the fact that you've taken them through two sections of the book and they're comfortable now putting this information out. But where do they have their money? What bank? What bank accounts? Do they have a safety deposit box? My generation doesn't do safety deposit box, but my parents have one. I wouldn't know that unless somebody told me. What properties do they have? What cars do they have? What assets do they have that you may not know about? And so it's those kinds of things. It's the what you don't know about that you're trying to learn. And in the end, you don't want to take over the life of your mom or your dad or your loved one. All you want to be able to do is to advocate for them.
Yeah. And for me, I have a question, like what strategic planning for Golden Years, this book, what means to you, like personally?
Well, so strategic planning for the Golden Years, what it really means to me is taking the stress out of a really stressful situation. So if you've ever been in the hospital with a loved one and they're trying to recover and it's stressful and people are asking you a ton of questions, the last thing you want to be able to have to say is, I don't know, a dozen times. And I've been there. I had a son go into the hospital and it was like, oh my God, I don't know. You know, and at a certain point you just like throw up your hands and go, okay, give me 5 minutes. But with strategic planning for the Golden Years, with the workbook, you don't have to say, I don't know. You can open it up. It's laid out in such a way that when they start asking you medical history questions, you can flip right to that section of the book. And it's all about reducing the stress in that situation.
And for example, who did you write this book for? Like, who do you hope reads it? Like for me, I was like, oh my God, I'm late. I don't know about these things. I was like, I'm going to answer, I don't know, to all those questions. But you told me, okay, relax. This is for probably your parents, right? So I was like, okay, got it. Like now I understand.
So our target market for this book is really Gen Xers, late baby boomers. So anybody that's born between about 1960 and about 1980, 85, because our parents or grandparents are going into this, they're retiring, they're going into end of life cycles, they're going to have health issues. It's those people that need to be going through this. So I jokingly have this little story that I tell everybody. If you remember when you were 14 years old, your mom and dad set you down and talked to you about the birds and the bees. Well, now you're 54 years old and it's time for you to sit with down with your parents and say, look, mom, dad, loved one, at some point, I'm going to have to advocate for you. You're not going to be able to speak for yourself. You're not going to be able to take care of yourself and it's going to fall on me. I don't want to take over your life, but what I want to do is make sure I get you the best care that you've paid for, you've earned, and you deserve. And so that's the opening part of the conversation. And know that the book is, while the book is not long, it's not a one-night conversation. This is a conversation that you're going to have to come back to multiple times over 1 to 3 month time frame, depending on how much you have to fill out. So just know that this is a sprint. This is a marathon, not a sprint.
And like, what are the most important lesson or tips in your book? Like, did you consider this is important for you need to know?
Some of the most important things is in the medical history. No known drug allergies. What drugs are they taking? Who are their doctors? Those things are very important because if you end up in the hospital, they're going to start asking you, well, who's their primary care doctor? Who is their oncologist? Who is their cardiologist? And those things. And then post-hospital, when you get into a facility, they're going to talk to you about vision and dental and those things. And those things are important to know. And it's all about making sure that you have quality of life. If your mom or your dad is relatively young, 75, 80 years old, and they're in good health, and they have a stroke or they start having Alzheimer's, they could live for 5 to 10 more years. So being able to know what their preferences are and know who they are dealing with now will help you immensely.
And I have another question, like, what is the biggest challenge you face as an author now, like how you overcome them?
So the biggest challenge I'm facing as an author right now is getting my book out there to people. Because for the most part, most people don't know that this is going to be a problem until they're in it. So right now, it's all about creating awareness and talking to people about, hey, look, it's not a matter of if, it's when. This problem is coming. You, either you, your spouse, somebody in your close circle is going to be affected by somebody that's going to have a stroke. They're going to have Alzheimer's dementia. They're going to need somebody to advocate for them. So know that this is coming. And so that's what we're doing right now with our podcast virtual tour, book tour, is we're trying to create awareness.
And what has been the most rewarding aspect of being an author and writing about this topic so far?
So the most rewarding part about it has been those conversations you have with people face to face, and you're talking to them and they're like, I'm struggling with my mom. I don't know what to do. And you're like, hey, I have a book. Buy my book. Here's why you buy my book. And they open up their phone, they go to Amazon, and standing right there in front of you, they order the book. And then you see them a couple of days later and they're like, I got my book, and oh my God, it's great. It's helping me with this and that. And it's really organizing these thoughts that I had all over the place. But then they come back and say, but you know what? I opened it up to chapter 3 and it was all about passwords to Facebook and Google and banks. And we hadn't even thought about talking to mom or dad about their passwords. And it's like those things that people are like, I thought we were doing really great, but then we didn't think about this or that. So yeah, that's been some of the most fun of it.
Yeah. Because sometimes the topic, there's like you don't want to talk about that, right? So that moment. So it's hard to start that conversation, but I think it's a lot about communication, right? And like another question, can you talk us through your typical writing process? Like, do you have any unique ritual or habits that help you to write?
So I suffer from ADHD and dyslexia. So writing for me is super painful. But it's really kind of funny. The night after I talked with my sister and I just sat down and it was a yellow pad of paper and a pencil, and I was just sitting there writing down questions, and 5-6 hours go by and I don't even notice that's gone by. And that was the core of the workbook. And then I had to go write the forward and the afterwards, because both of those are really important in this book. Tell you how to use it, when to use it. And then the end of it talks about what you need to do next. And those sections, I just had to sort of sit down and once I get that first sentence on paper, it starts to flow. But it's that first sentence, getting that just the way I want it. And that can take a week, 2 weeks to get that first sentence right. And then after that, it just kind of goes. But it's definitely a slower process. But I will tell you, the other slow process is talking with your parents. Because like my dad is a member of the silent generation. You don't talk to him about money. You don't talk to him about it. It's a very taboo subject. So I just had to take a copy of it to him and give it to him and say, here, read this. And then I would go back and talk to him about it. And then I would go back and talk to him a little bit more about it. And he slowly started to do it on its own. So know that even if you get a big no or a big pushback from your loved one, it's important. Leave a copy with them. Let them work through it themselves. Talk to them about it more, because this is something that when the stressful situation happens, this will help reduce the stress. And just like with my writing, I have to sometimes figure out how to reduce my stress to make it go right. And so very similar processes.
And like for aspiring authors in our audience, what's one piece of advice you will offer them on their writing journey?
So, that's the funny part about this, right? Nobody in my family's are writers, and everybody that I talk to within my family like poo-pooed all over me. So don't let them poo-poo all over you. Keep writing. Keep. And it's kind of like being an entrepreneur. You're going to write bad books, and you're going to write bad sentences, and you're going to write bad paragraphs, and your storylines are going to be horrible. And then one day it's all going to just kind of come together, and the next thing you're going to know, you wrote an amazing book. And so don't give up. Keep writing. So many authors that you talk to that are just like, I struggled and I struggled and I struggled, and then one day it just clicked. And that's going to be with anything. So same thing with writing. Just keep at it. And if it's bad, save it, because one day if you make it famous, that bad work will be worth all sorts of money.
Yeah, thank you so much, William. Like, these 15 minutes go so fast, but it's truly been a pleasure having you on Authors Radio. Thank you for sharing your story and giving us a look into the heart of the book. To all the listeners, don't forget to check out his book, Strategic Planning for Golden Years. Thank you for tuning in to Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. Join me for the next time with another inspiring guest. Until then, happy listening.
Thanks.